Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background, as always, running the show. We are so excited to be here with you guys on a Tuesday evening. Bit of a long absence, long weekend away from the show, back with a vengeance. The only thing I have to report, Glenn, is that my illness was overcome, and then my son got sick again. And so now I am congested from here up. But the cough is very subtle this time. Just tons of congestion, and I probably sound like Hermit. I can't hear myself very well either. So it is what it is. All that being said, we're here. We're ready to go. And Glenn, it's time, baby. It's that time of season. The Ravens sweater is out and about.
Let's go.
Shout out to Harry for getting me for this for Christmas years ago. But Glenn, how are you doing, my man?
Doing well. It's a big weekend coming up. Obviously, the big week with Thanksgiving just a couple days away. Once I had children, Christmas kind of bumped up there because you like seeing the kid. I like seeing my son open his presents. But Thanksgiving's always been my favorite holiday. Good food, good football. It's going to be a beautiful day. Now, I'm not sure I love the Black Friday game, the Friday games. It's like, look, I love football, but let's stop putting it every single available day we put a game on. I mean, holy smokes. Not to mention I'll be working that day.
Is that a big day in the shop?
I mean, Black Friday. Yeah, there's going to be some foot traffic, as they say. But yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily thrilled I'll be missing those games. But yeah, it's going to be a big weekend, huge, important game. The Ravens have a tough schedule down the stretch, which we're going to get into in a little bit. But hey, man, it's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be fun to watch our Ravens get back out there and hopefully continue what they started this past Thursday. But Jimbo, we got a lot of news to talk about, and I want to get your take right out the gate.
Let's do it.
On the news that broke today. Pepe Williams was activated from injured reserve, returned to practice today, opening a 3-week window in which he can be activated to the roster and join his Ravens defense back on the field. So how big of an impact do you expect Pepe to have returning to this defense?
I think it's a big deal. I wouldn't have said it's a big, I think he'll have a decent impact more than if Marlon wasn't banged up. I think it just makes a big deal because he's a player that we've seen do well while in spots that you can add to that rotation. We need that rotation to be as deep and as good as possible. Right. So I'm looking forward to him being back, especially as he plays on the inside. That seems to be where people are expecting him to play. So I'm looking forward to him be back, and I think he'll be relatively impactful because we don't know what Marlon's going to be like. He's banged up. It is what it is. Right. And I hope this doesn't happen. I'm not even going to say what I think could potentially happen, but I'm just hoping for the best with Marlon. All that being said, I like Pepe being thrown back in the mix for sure. Isn't there another guy that's out too in the cornerback? Mollett's not out, is he? Is he banged up?
Seymour got put on IR, okay, I believe.
So, I mean, I just feel like at this late in the season, getting a guy who we've seen do well and are excited about back is always exciting, right? Especially at that position being the cornerback room. So I'm looking forward to it. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. And there's already early reports that there's a chance Marlon can play. I'm kind of hopeful that they err on the side of caution when it comes to Marlon's calf, and that we just don't see him back till after the bye. And I kind of think the same would probably be said for Pepe. Like, why rush him out there for this Sunday when you have the bye right on the heels of this game, and you know that you can then give him an extra week of practice reps as well as, continued rehab and rest from the injury. So I want to see Pepe and I want to see Marlon Humphrey both after the bye week. And I think we can survive this Sunday. I'm hopeful that we can survive this Sunday without him. Of course, we're going to have more time to get into the Chargers, but they're pretty banged up from a skill position standpoint as well. And the guy they do have that they took one pick before Zay Flowers at pick 21 is having about a rookie year, as you can imagine, dropped the game-winning 70-yard reception, which, by the way, had that son of a gun in my flex in a pinch last week. That 70-yard tutty would have looked real good, but he dropped it nonetheless. But, yeah, I'm confident with what we have going into this game. the way that we've seen the corners play, but it'll certainly be nice getting Pepe back out there for sure.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing I'll say about that, what didn't he deal? Isn't that the TCU kid?
Who's that?
The guy that Chargers took?
Yeah, I believe it is TCU.
Isn't he? Yep. He struggled with drops in college, right?
He did. He's more of a finesse guy for his size. Yeah. Yeah. But like, they could have had Zay.
They picked decided not to.
Yep.
All because of measurables, man.
That's exactly man, right.
When will we as humans learn?
Yep. Measurables when? Don't make a football player.
No. Manny says, I mean, look at Geno Stone. Manny says the 1-2 knockout from Glenn's fire appearance in the L on Thursday night has broken the orange and black board. Did y'all see their post game? Oh no, Glenn, what did you do to our guys, dude? Oh man, that's
I had to go in there and represent, bruh. But dang, I didn't know they were down that bad. I mean, whew.
Oh, that's hilarious, dude. They were Glenn broke them, dude. The thing is, you guys, what you don't understand is that if you're not experienced with Glenn, he is relentless. But if he gets an edge, forget about it. So yeah, that's
fun.
That's hilarious, man. Glenn, you did him in, dude.
Man, sorry, boys. I mean, over at Orange and Black, you know, I like you guys, but had to come bring the heat. And then the Ravens certainly backed it up on the field on Thursday. And shout out to the fans, too. Had some family in the building, had some friends down there. They said it was absolutely unbelievable, the atmosphere. The reports are that the energy was off the charts, and I'm sure that impacted the game, whether Burrow was in there or not.
Yeah, no, for sure. Manny follows it up with, Glenn, it was Oscar-worthy. Thank you. Get him his Oscar, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I'm available to all shows. Any opponents of the Ravens want to have me on, I'll gladly come on.
Think twice. Think twice. This is the last thing I want to say. Of course, we're going to bring Cole Jackson in. Sure. But last thing I want to say, did John have to get up at the mic and say there's a chance that Mark could come back? Like, did he have to do that?
I don't see the value in putting any timetable on it. But as a fan, as a person who likes to have hope, I'm not mad because he gave me some hope. And I'm realistic in that I'm not going to hold him to it. And if he doesn't come, I'm going to come back before the Super Bowl. I'm going to be like, oh, just John Harbaugh is a lying SOB. It is what it is, but I do think he may have did himself no favors. I will say that.
Yeah, you know, I'm the type of guy, Glenn, you know I like to run, right?
Yeah.
And I hate it when I'm in a, like sometimes I'm in a race and I hate it when I see the signs, how much, like what mile I'm in.
You don't even want a reminder.
No, dude, do not tell me I got 22 miles left.
That's right.
Like, don't freaking tell me that, dude. I will kill you.
So if you're in jail, you're not one of those guys that's putting an X, carving an X into the wall of his jail cell.
There's like the people on the sideline that are like working the race, the volunteers, and they're like, all right, just a cool 18. It's a cool 18. What are you talking about? Like, I don't want it. So my point is that, like, I don't want to know that Mark can come back. Just don't tell me that stuff.
Surprise
me.
You wanted to be surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that would have been nice surprise, dude. Like, totally off the radar, and all of a sudden it just drops. And they drop an Andrews return trailer. Dude.
Could you imagine the hype video for that?
Oh.
Mm. With that being said, Cole Jackson might have to go in there and play his doppelganger.
Dude, they would never know. They would never know.
Except I think maybe the height difference, right, Cole? I think that would give it away. But outside of that, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, our resident a film expert, Cole Jackson. Oh, sorry, DK. I'm over here doing your job. I apologize. Cole, how are you, man? Good to see you.
Good, good. How are you boys doing?
Dude, doing good. Oh, rocking the mustache.
Oh, rocking the mustache. Dude, yeah.
Flavor saver, bro.
I had to trim it a bit. It was a bit out of control when
I
went.
First... Ron Swanson, man. You have like
a little Ron Jeremy comment
for like a few days after you eat, and they like randomly fall in your mouth, and you're like, oh, that's steak from 3 days ago.
No,
got Thanksgiving coming up for you guys too.
Dude, get some turkey in there.
Yeah, dude, get a little gravy, bruh. And of course, Cole, we're gonna give you an opportunity to talk, you know, some about what kind of brings you on here tonight outside of our weekly visit. But I do got to start with the controversy of the game last week. I got to get your take on Logan Wilson The hit drop tackle didn't just strike the Ravens with the loss of Mark Andrews, but we also saw it in the college ranks affecting the quarterback for FSU. Seems to have ended what was looking like a dream season for them. What's your thoughts on the hip drop tackle? Can they police it? And you know, also touch on the impact of losing Mark Andrews for the season.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, Logan Wilson damn near took out three people. He almost got a UAV by the end of this game. And,
I like it.
You know, the hip drop tackle, it's a tough one. They've already reviewed it. I think because this happened in prime time, they will be, and I mean, you've seen the buzz around it. They'll be inclined to review it again. They're going to be really hesitant because of the enforcement. And in terms of whether or not they can police it, I mean, I remember way back when they brought in the defenseless receiver rule and they implemented that. And the thing was, how is anyone going to hit over the middle of the field? And, you know, it's going to be flags all the time and every guys are going to be getting ejected and players adjust. And so, you know, I don't think there was any malicious intent. I don't really consider Logan Wilson dirty personally. It's a technique that is taught and it's used. It's not ideal. It's hard to call it a dirty play when it's not a penalty. It's not against the rules. It's been reviewed already by the league and it was deemed not to. It obviously sucks. Like, we lost Mark Andrews because of it. The Lamar tackle at the sideline, that wasn't a hip drop. And Odell's wasn't really either. So, I mean, it was really just the Mark tackle. Unfortunate. It, from his perspective, he's thinking, if I wrap, Mark can drag me. And he's almost in the end zone, right? So, like, I get it. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. They'll look at it. I think it could be outlawed. I think there's a real chance. I'm not as concerned about the policing of it because I just think players will adjust like they did with hits over the middle. Like, remember what it used to be like? Like, you remember when Brian Dawkins and even Ed and Troy, like, remember when they were just blowing guys up?
Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, baby. Like,
college football, you look at the targeting rule and there's still some ejections. And I mean, Kyle Hamilton just got ejected a couple weeks ago. And so, you know, I don't think you can call Logan Wilson any dirtier than you could a fan of, I forget even who we were playing. Detroit, was it? It was Chris Moore. No, it was Detroit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tennessee. It's like a Tennessee fan saying that Kyle Hamilton's dirty, and I don't think Kyle Hamilton's dirty, and that hit was technically illegal. So that's just how I view it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. The more injuries that happen, the more they're going to take a look at it for sure.
Yeah. It's always difficult when you start to legislate things because other things pop up because of the initial legislation. And then,
dude, I said it from the right when it happened. It almost has to be an unwritten rule that players agree on because the flags would come, it would drive us crazy with the enforcement of it. And yeah, I think it's just be a nightmare. But Cole, what's the loss going to be like for the Ravens? Who's going to have to step up the most? And how devastating is that?
It's huge. Mark's the safety blanket. He's top three tight end in the league. It sucks. He's just been Mr. Steady. I will say the one thing in 2022, I remember being shocked when they drafted a second tight end in the fourth round with their 800 fourth round picks that year.
Oh boy, Cole. And are you about to go pull? Are you about to go full Kadri Ismail on us?
Why would he say?
Go ahead. We'll let you speak.
No, I was going to say, the only way that ever made sense is if you were going to be prepared for doomsday, not having Mark Andrews. We know Lamar loves to throw to tight ends. And here we are. So it's on these two young lads to step up. And Likely and Kolar have both had up and down moments in both the run and the pass game. Both looked pretty good in preseason. Likely struggled a little bit early. He's gotten a lot better the last few weeks. Kolar similarly. It's their time. This is why you made those draft depth picks. It's so that if you lost Mark, you would have guys to go to. And I think they're going to deploy them based on skill set. I think you're going to see I remember when Mark got hurt last year, Likely came in and he had, I think it was just one game. He had a touchdown on it. It was on one of those
game.
That's right. And
he balled out.
Didn't see a lot of Kolar, but I think we're going to see a big mix. I think you're going to see Likely doing a lot of the close to line of scrimmage and line stuff. Kolar is going to do a little bit more of Mark's split out stuff. So, I mean, it's a huge loss, but it's not really those two that I'm expecting to replace the production. Who I need to replace the production is Rashad Bateman, because his tape the last 3 to 4 weeks has been stellar. He's open. He looks smooth. He's explosive. His release is nuts right now. Like, he is getting clean releases. He's absolutely cooking guys with double ups and agility, you know, outside releases. Like, it's been good stuff. So in terms of the production, it's Rashad Bateman is where I want to see the majority of those targets going.
Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting to see where the production goes and what they're able to do. I think one of the things that I mentioned is in our post game was that I think we have the horses to get it done. It's not like, could you imagine if this happened last year or even in 19, if Mark went down? Holy crap. Sure. Even though Lamar is playing like a man possessed, still to be able to make up for a loss like that would have been really significant. And not that it's not now, but I think we're in a different situation as far as the other weapons that we might have. And I want to keep talking about a few things in the game, but I also want to bring this up really quick because it got me pretty fired up. DK, if you can put this graphic up before we make any comments about it, I just have a question for you guys. You can see the power ranking graphic on the screen. This is brought to you by, this fool's name is somewhere. Pete Prisco.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm starting to rub off on Jimmy.
Yeah. So Pete Prisco here.
Wow.
From 0 to 60 seconds, how much time did he actually spend on this before he had the good old marketing team spin this trash?
He spent a lot of time because he specifically chose just one AFC team. Like, that had to take effort to only put one in your top.
Yeah. Five. How stupid can you be to put one AFC team in the top five power rankings in the NFL? And then just specific to Baltimore, not only do we beat the crap out of the Lions with one hand tied behind our backs, we've already, you know, what did we do? We split with the Browns. Is that what we did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We split with the Browns. I mean, we have a better record right now than every team on this, except for the one and two, right?
Yeah. Nah, that's no, it. Just the Eagles,
just the one. Right? Yeah. Just the ones. So this is just so dumb to me. Is there like, am I the only one that thinks this is absolutely ridiculous?
I feel like he's just heavily weighting that Cleveland loss because of the recency of it. And, you know, from the perspective of whoever wrote this, I don't really agree with it, but I would imagine he would say Cleveland just beat them. Baltimore has been up and down. I wouldn't even really say up and down. Yeah. I mean,
right.
We've been straight blasting some of these teams.
Mm-hmm. How can you put the Browns on the top 10 Deshaun Watson-less?
Yeah.
No, their defense is pretty damn
good. The Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins haven't been as sharp as they were early in the season.
Yeah, they've yet to beat a good team.
That's what I was going to say. Glenn, didn't you talk about this? Isn't Dolphins' record against, like, good teams just terrible?
They haven't won any against good teams.
Yeah, so yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say that this got me fired up today, and I was
okay.
Like,
all right.
I can't be the only one here that thinks this guy...
You're rubbing off on the both of us because I'm going at people on Twitter like now that I've never done before.
Let them know.
Jimmy called me. He's like, "Do you see what you started on Twitter?" I had no idea.
I know, man. It was a whole army had already filed behind Glenn, and I was like, "Holy crap! Yeah. Here we go."
It's absolutely crazy. But I want to get back to the game, and man, Adafe Owe has been something else since coming back from this last injury. So I just want to give you a couple minutes here, Cole, to talk about what you've seen from Adafe. And can you try and kind of tell us what you think his ceiling could be when he's a complete product?
Yeah, I mean, he's been on another level since he got back. In his last three games alone, he's got 15 pressures, 3 sacks. The sacks are finally coming, which is the big shiny sacks everyone wanted. Nobody cared that he was consistently getting pressure. People wanted those sack numbers. Now they're coming. Mm-hmm. The ceiling is high because what we've seen from him and what Chuck Smith has done with him as a player is, like, he won against Orlando on Thursday. I saw him win with a double hand swipe dip. I saw him win with a club rip. I saw him win with a spin move. He won with a spin move against the tight ends where he got doubled on the other side. It's not just like he's not a one trick pony type thing. It's the pass rush plan is there. The way he's branching things together, it all comes down to his tackling. I mean, I think it was the first play of the game. Yeah, it was the first play of the game. Burrow scrambled up the middle for 4 yards or something like that. He absolutely dusted Orlando Brown, or he short cornered him. And dipped under his punch and just didn't get the tackle in. And so it's just the more that comes, the more that he's able to close on these pressures. That's where he's going to meet his ceiling, because his pass rush win rate, he's in the top 10 amongst edge rushers in the NFL. His pass rush productivity, which factors in, like, it waits for sacks so that sacks are considered heavily. He's in the top 10. He's a top 10. Statistically, he's a top 10 edge rusher per snap this year. I know people probably don't really believe it, but that's what the numbers say, and that's looking at pass rush win rate and productivity. So, you know, he's got Pro Bowl potential. Absolutely. The way that he's putting this all together, he has Pro Bowl potential without a doubt.
I love him. Hey, Jimbo, I want to quickly – Cole's getting some love with the no beard look. They're saying this is a good look for you, mustache only. But I also want to give you an opportunity to talk about, you know, kind of what goes into having this mustache today.
Absolutely. And so, first off, I saw you boys made a donation. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. So it's Movember. And Movember is something that's been in my life for years. In 2009, when I was in grade 11, I lost my father to prostate cancer. And when I tell this story, a lot of people are surprised when they hear prostate cancer. And that's because typically it's curable and typically it's treatable. Not always, of course. But my dad's story serves as a story that I like to share because it really speaks to what Movember's trying to accomplish. Now, of course, they want to raise money and that money goes into research. And that stuff is super important. But what I think the true meaning is raising awareness around men taking better control of both their physical and their mental health. And my dad was your typical small town Southern guy. I'm not sick, you know, never took a day off work. And when he started to get sick, he just didn't get it checked. And the cancer progressed to a point where it wasn't treatable. And so I remember nine months before, so it would have been like March, they gave him 6 months, and he sat down with me and my brother to tell us, and he said he wanted to make it through another Christmas, and he did, and then he passed away in January. So he's your true rugged small town guy. So I like to do this in his honor, share his story, because it really speaks to what Movember wants to accomplish. They want men to take better control of their health, and it's something that's near and dear to my heart. So I am doing a little Movember campaign with a couple buddies from high school. We're just trying to raise a little bit of money, but also share our stories. One of my best friends from high school, he lost his father to cancer and his cousin to suicide. So he's very much in the same place as me. So sharing his story to raise that awareness. So thank you boys again for the donation and letting me share it on your show. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And happy to be able to help in any small port, you know, in any small way that we can, in hopes that just like you said, I mean, I'm with it. Anybody certainly that's a dad feels the obviously we have dads, but also being a dad, it kind of puts that in perspective as well. So yeah, we appreciate that, Cole. And looking forward to great things. So make sure I think DK is put a link in the description. Is that correct, DK? Yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, check it out. The link is in the description. You guys can also make a donation, partner up with us, and Cole, and, make a difference, folks. So, yeah, go ahead and check it out. And, you know, we'd greatly appreciate it. That being said, one of the things I want to mention is I figured out why the Browns are in front of us in the power rankings, Cole.
Why?
Because I got Joey Flack, man.
That's true. I mean, when I saw that man bouncing around Ohio I think he was flying Spirit. I don't think they have any other planes in Ohio. But the picture killed me. It had the lady in front of him with the Reds hat on. So it's like, he's 100% going from Cleveland to Cincinnati, isn't he?
Yeah,
man. It was a bidding war for Joe Flacco.
Look, he wasn't ranked high enough, baby. Look, I don't know. We might think about putting the Browns in
I'll
the top
five. I'll
just
put it out there. I don't want to play the Browns with January Joe. Do you guys?
Dude.
That man's dangerous.
I'm more nervous about January Joe than I would be Deshaun Watson.
If he shows up with
a Fu Man
2, I will shit my pants.
Oh, dude. You know, it's game time. I mean, I don't think that's good news. I don't think it's good news that the Steelers fired Canada, because I think that could shake things up, and we want that offense to stay down where it's been, and you just never know when you kind of shake up the room. But I did want to ask your take on what you saw from OBJ, because people are still doubting whether he can get things done. He finally has the breakout game, but most importantly, he does so with a bunch of yak yards. And let me know what you saw from OBJ this week.
Absolutely. The play that got me the most excited, it wasn't even one of his big gains. It was they stacked the line of scrimmage. He just ran a quick out against the blitz. The Bengals brought seven, and OBJ just ran that quick out at the sideline. He hit a spin move and then took it inside the 10-yard line. That play was critical, because the number one way to beat the blitz is not only like when they line up like Miami did a couple years ago, where it's just a receiver across, there's no safety help, get the ball out quick and then make your guy miss. That'll force the defense to adjust because there's no safety help. So for them to do that right away in that game, I thought that was super important. But yeah, the yak's been insane. I mean, he had 53 yards yak in that game. The Ravens in total had 154, and that's not counting Zay Flowers' touchdown that should have been a touchdown. I was losing it on my couch during that play. I think everybody saw my Twitter meltdown. You know, what OBJ, he just looks more fluid. He looks more explosive. I don't really know how to explain it. I've been talking about getting him in the slot because he was lacking a little bit of juice. And I think one of the best things they've done is work him a little bit more over the middle and less on the sideline. And I think that's, you're seeing it. He took that slant to the house a couple weeks ago. And then, you know, in this game, he caught another one over the middle, made a guy miss, quick out, make a guy miss. I think they were trying too hard to push the ball downfield to him. I'm not sure he's that player anymore. You know, he can still make ridiculous catches. There was that one early in the season where he tracked the ball over his shoulder. And obviously he's done some great defensive pass interference things downfield. But I think the most critical thing that they've done is work him over the middle and then letting him kind of run in space. And that's really where, that's when he was on the Rams for the Super Bowl win, that's what they were doing best with him. They were working him over the middle and he was making guys miss. So, that's been a nice adjustment. And I think that's going to be, again, with Mark Andrews out, the middle of the field is Mark Andrews territory. Working those seams is Mark Andrews territory. So a guy like OBJ working out of the slot with Zay and Bateman on the outside, with their explosiveness and their speed, I think that that's one of the ways that they can adjust to fill that void left by Mark.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Doomboy says, Doomboy 94 says, why has our run defense been booty lately? What's your take, Cole?
No, it's a good question. We saw, who did we play 2 weeks ago?
The Browns
late worked in that game. Laterally.
Nothing fancy. They just pushed it down the ball. I mean,
they were using kind of inside zone, but working it out towards the tackle, trying to get, lateral displacement. And so guys like Travis Jones, Michael Pierce, guys that are eating gaps, if you get them moving laterally, they're not as effective. I think that's why Broderick Washington was out in this game. He's one of those, if you want to run gap concepts with Brody out there, it's not going to work well. That's his strength. He's not as strong working laterally. We also know the Bengals are one of the quickest time to throw teams. They get the ball out quick, and I think they want a Brent Urban's length. Seems like he gets a PBU at the line of scrimmage every game. So in terms of a depth role, but I think it was the run defense was more what they were thinking. And they wanted to get guys that could move more laterally. So something to keep an eye on, but I think the key is that's where you need your linebackers to take over. And from what I've seen from Rowe and Queen, they just look gassed. Like, we're going on to almost the 12th game without a bye. They've traveled the most of any NFL team. They've gone West Coast. They've gone to London. They've gone, you know, it's like that's we've been everywhere, man. Like <it's>, they got to be gassed. I mean, they're professional athletes, but they get gassed too. So, you know, I didn't want to. I thought Queen looked particularly bad in this game, especially in coverage, but that hasn't been him all year, right? Yeah. So it's not just like, oh, he's a bad player. He just looks a step slower, and, I mean, fatigue steps in. We're working through a very long season. They added a damn game. So, you know, I'd like to see those boys get rested up. I'm looking forward to that bye week.
Yeah, the last thing I got for you, Cole, in regards to this Bengals game was obviously we got the injury to Marlon Humphrey as well. You know, there's a potential.
Go ahead, Jimbo.
There's a potential that he plays. I'm super nervous about a re-injury. But my question is, how nervous are you about the cornerback room? I mean,
feel great.
Yeah,
love it.
I thought you were going to ask him to set you up, dude,
for Brandon Stevens. I mean,
thing is that I can only pat my back so many times. My arm's starting to hurt. You know,
no, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for the Brandon Stevens liability get attacked game, and it just isn't coming. And I mean, I just did a film piece this morning on Brandon Stevens looking at, I think I broke down 6 reps against Jamar Chase, and he had the clamps on Jamar Chase. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I had a couple comments that people were saying he's not trying to get open. What kind of take is that? Like,
That's the classic when you lose on the court as a kid, and you're like, I wasn't trying anyway, guys. Trying.
I was on team.
Oh, I'm going to try now, though.
I don't know if they meant that he was, like, running decoy routes or clear out routes or something, but, like, I mean, anyway, whatever. There's routes where I highlight where the eyes of the quarterback are specifically on Jamar Chase, and he's running in his back pocket. He's using trail technique really effectively, which is essentially running side by side rather than staying over top. And the interesting thing about that, like, Jamar Chase only had 2 catches for 12 yards. So I'm not trying to act like he cooked Ronald Darby by any means, but he was getting more separation against Ronald Darby when he was on him because he was sagging off in his coverage. Stevens doesn't do that because he trusts that long speed that he has. And so that's why, and the advantage that gives him by running hip to hip, Jamar Chase is one of the best on comeback routes and deep breaking routes. He's just so agile, so quick, physical at a stem. And Stevens is kind of just running with him. And when he goes to break down in his footwork, Stevens can feel that versus being over top of him. And then he's running a route underneath you. So that's really what's working so well for Stevens right now. It's just, he has a lot of confidence right now in his deep running ability.
As he should, right? As he should.
What does Pepe bring back to the room coming off IR?
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Millett has been kind of a surprise in terms of his play. When I watched him with the Steelers, because I watched a little bit when they signed him, he was terrible. Like, he was not good. And he was a good tackler. I thought he was good in run defense, run support, very physical. But in coverage, he was terrible. So I was shocked this year. He's been pretty good. I really haven't had any complaints. Pepe just offers another option to Arthur Millett. I think they're going to work him in slowly. I'm not going to just sit Millett for him right now because I think Millett's been playing pretty well. But I do want to see Pepe get involved again at some point. Love the way he plays. Love how physical he is. But from what I've seen from the two of them side by side as Ravens, Millett's been better in coverage than Pepe is.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Hey, it's nice, healthy body, though, right?
You can never have too many corners. Ozzie Newsome, Cole Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
There we go. List of geniuses right there. That's all I heard. Well, I get that's it for me tonight from you, Cole. So I appreciate you coming on as always. Guys, if you want to help Cole out and help donate and contribute to the cause, the link will be in the description of the video below. Also, don't forget, if you guys are new, go to Road Graders on YouTube, subscribe to his channel. He will make you a better and smarter football fan for you doing so. Cole, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week, sir.
Thanks. And just a note from me to you guys, because I don't get to celebrate, a seriously happy Thanksgiving. Have a blast with your family and friends. I get so jealous up here. We have ours in the second week of October. So, I mean, I'm almost 6 weeks out from having my Thanksgiving. So I get to live vicariously through you guys. So have a blast with your family and loved ones. I know it's a short week for you guys in the work field. So enjoy it. Be safe. And Sunday night, let's go get the Chargers.
Let's go. Let's get have it. A good one, guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
And Jimbo, I wanted to get into just an initial reaction of what we have going ahead, because I was dipping into the schedule. And thanks again for Cole coming out, legend as always. Yes. But Jimbo, the Ravens have the toughest remaining schedule when it comes to some analytics, DVO something. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, a genius here, but they do seemingly have one. A ridiculously tough schedule. I'm going to throw it up on the screen now. Your take.
Because I saw this too, and yeah, I want to talk about this a little bit.
I mean, it is, and it doesn't help where you're playing some of these opponents. I think you'd certainly prefer if some of these games were at home rather than on the road here. But as you can see, it doesn't get much easier from a travel standpoint than going at the Los Angeles Chargers this weekend. They're coming off a tough loss where their head coach is being questioned. The Rams coming off. I mean, I thought they'd be out of it by now, but they're trying to win still, Jimbo. They're absolutely trying to win. And then you got the Jags, who looked like world beaters last week. Same with the Niners, looked unbelievable. The Dolphins are still getting it done. And then the Steelers, we're going to be playing them with a new offensive coordinator. When you compare that to what the Chiefs have remaining in your battle for the number one seed in the AFC, I mean, to me, it's pretty clear who has the more difficult route. When you look at a pretty easy Raiders game, I would anticipate the Packers, them being a heavily favorite. Patriots are an absolute dumpster fire. The Raiders, again, are a mess with O'Connell. And then the Bengals will have a backup quarterback. So do you look at this as an uphill climb for the Ravens to hang on to that number one spot, or do you have confidence they can get it done?
I have confidence we get it done. This is what I start thinking when you read me that list. Keep it coming. Yeah. Give me more. Like, I want, and I hope the players are thinking the same. Like, keep telling me all this stuff, because all it is filling me up, right? I need more. I mean, the way that I, as a person that watches and comments on the games, not a player, because if I was a player, I say, you know, realistically, I'm not losing a game as a player. Like, in my head, I'm not losing, right? Like, my team isn't losing. But that being said, I mean, look, just as a quick, you analyze this quickly. So something that's important to mention, in between after the Chargers game, we got the bye. So at that bye, you reset, and you got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got a 5-game sprint. You got an intervals here, right? So it's like, in my mind, you got these 5 games, and I think Rams, these are the ones I think are, the easiest wins of these 5.
The Rams wins, right?
Well, the easiest wins in my mind, like, are the Rams and Steelers.
You got to win those, right?
No, for sure. I think the Rams and Steelers of that list are the easiest. So if you beat the Chargers, you beat the Rams, you beat the Steelers, that's 11 wins.
Yeah.
Right. So now, like you said, it's about holding on to that number one spot, right? So you're gonna have to find a way to keep up with the Chiefs. But I, like you said, the Dolphins haven't beat anyone serious. I'm not crazy concerned about that game. The Jags can be whoever they want to be, and I know they've had some big wins this year, but they still are the kings of the AFC JV league. So whatever that means, right? Like, when you play Baltimore, then we'll talk. Because we are clearly the best conference, the best division in the best conference in football. And we are the kings of that division. So until the Jags have something to say to us, I'm not sweating them. I'm most nervous about that Niners game. But in my mind, Glenn, the highlight of all this is that really I'm only nervous about one of these games. Not that the other games can't bite us. But that's the one that I'm circling on the calendar. Like,
Christmas night.
It's a away game. It's Christmas night. You know, we're all humans. Like, these guys are missing their kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, which I think
That might help be helpful if you're on the road in a Christmas game, because
you can lock in. You're not with the family,
you know, at home.
Some guys, yes. For some guys, no. Don't you think? Like, I think for some guys, it would definitely help. Other guys, it would be worse. My opinion is, if you're making the guys travel on Christmas, NFL pay for their family to travel with them. Make it Christmas there for their family. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
But so that's how I kind of broke it down, because I saw this too, and I was like, dang. First thing I saw was the Chiefs remaining schedule. I'm like, dude, this is a cupcake walk. Like, the Bills aren't even real. Like, you know what I'm saying? If the Bills are your toughest team, like, what are we talking about here, right? And so, I mean, look, it is what it is. But to me, I like this because I've mentioned this before. If you don't do it in training, you're not going to do it in the game. Be the most iron, you know, sharpened that you can be in the regular season. Go through the gauntlet, because in the playoffs, you're going to be like, okay, we play the Steelers in the first round. Is that what you're telling me? Like, you know what I mean? Or whatever the team is, they're not going to be nervous about it, because there's not going to be the question like there will with the Chiefs. Well, for the past 2 months, they've been playing cupcake teams. They haven't had a tough opponent or whatever. The Ravens just slayed all the Dragons, you know? Yeah. So I like it. I'm excited about it. How you feeling about it?
Oh, I mean, what I like is, like you mentioned, when they come off the bye, they got five games. Three of those games, including the last two, are at home. And I like that. And what I also like is the opportunity, the chance that maybe that Steelers game isn't as important, hopefully, and that maybe we can kind of see, you know, if the Ravens can do anything from a strategic standpoint of maybe getting some guys some needed rest, if that's the case, if we have guys banged up. I'm not going to promote healthy resting of players, because we've seen that bite us in the tuchus. But if we do have a guy who's banged up and needs a week, it would be nice to, if that Steelers game doesn't carry a ton of importance. Even if that means the number one seed is out of the books and we're talking, you know, we're already locked into maybe a different spot. But I do like that there's the two finishing home games. I'm not mad about that. I'm sure players will be excited. And let's hope that the Ravens can carry that into the playoffs and have some home games in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, I'm not excited about I am excited about it. I'm not thrilled about the Chiefs schedule and their chances of keeping them one seed. But also, I think anybody that watched the game, to be honest with you, I just watched the cut up game in 15 minutes. I have no nerves about the Chiefs, and I will not put it past them to drop a few of these games.
Yeah.
Not just because they don't have wide receivers, which is also another thing I want to talk to you about, but because it's hard to play this late in the postseason over and over and over and over again, right? And it's hard to make your quarterback a world beater as good as Mahomes is and expect him to do it over and over and over again. Don C, shout out to Don C, says, just getting home, boys. I'm loving the fact that the Ravens schedule is tough. I'm not digging a first round bye for the playoffs. He agrees with you, Glenn, and with me in the tough schedule. I want them battle tested, no sitting starters. Absolutely. Look, I got another good saying, okay? A wise man once said, everyone reaches out to me and says I overtrain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he shows all his medals and he said, I'm going to keep overtraining while you worry about overtraining. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, the idea is that, like, when I get hurt overtraining, I let you know. But when your thing works out better for you, you let me know. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I love that because, yeah, make them battle test and go into that thing all ready to go. Now, like you said, Glenn, we don't want to be banged up, but like psychologically having the edge of going through all of it, you know, I think will be huge, right?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to limp into the playoffs with a bunch of softballs and then get smacked in the mouth by that first fastball that you see in the playoffs.
Maybe something like that happened in 19?
Maybe. You know? I think if John had his hindsight, he probably wouldn't have rested all those guys, but we'll see what happens. Quickly, if you could choose right now, would you still take the one seed?
You're killing me. I'm very opinionated and usually quick to answer. I don't know if I have an answer on this. I'm going to stick with what I've been saying.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to take the one seed. Dang it.
It's tough because then you're guaranteeing rest for everyone.
Right. But I wonder if it makes a difference. And then I also think I wanted to say I'll take the one seed, but I won't sit my guys against the Steelers. But I'm like, okay, somebody ends up limp against the Steelers.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to be pissed off that guys didn't sit if the game doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
Dang it. I'm taking the one seed. Yeah, DK said it. You get a home field advantage too.
You do, but you could get home field as the second as the second seed if someone knocks off the one seed.
Yeah.
And the only team that could stop you is if the one seed wins. But the only thing that makes me nervous is we see it in other sports too. Both the top seeds in baseball,
yeah,
both had some rest and both were out in the first round in the blink of an eye after dominating the regular season.
Which is crazy because it was a series too. You know, it wasn't like it's a one game.
So I just wonder if that rest, unless it's absolutely needed, as in a guy can't play this week, but he can play next. I don't know if it is the best case. So it's yeah, I don't know. But appreciate Don C jumping in here.
Oh, appreciate it. Now I just want to ask you a question real quick though, Glenn, and this is not directly related to the Ravens, but Tom Brady's been making the news today.
Yeah.
See the clip?
I did. And I agree with everything he says. I just think that when he was playing, he was actively on the other side of that and the strongest driving force, it seemed like, on the other side of everything he said. But I loved everything he said.
Is this his way of getting Bill to the Chargers?
Look.
Getting Bill another job?
Bill stinks. Out loud. Tom Brady isn't his quarterback. He stinks. I'm done with the time. But I do love what he said. But the whole time, he was literally sitting up and complaining and trying to get calls. So it's kind of weird that he said. But I love everything he says about how, you know, he kind of misses the old days and how much they've handcuffed the defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny too because wasn't a rule made because he got hit, right? Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know exactly. What I'm saying? Pollard, so it's like funny that it's funny that he would say that. I agree with you. But you know, it's just tough to be in that situation and not come off just sounding old.
Yeah,
just sound old, man. You sound like an old head. You sound like Barkley.
Yeah,
you know, so sometimes Barkley gets on there, and I'm like, Chuck, stop.
I know.
You sound so old.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I was just curious to get your thoughts on that one. Let's see. But Brady didn't push for the. Oh yeah. Well, we don't know, DK.
Well, yeah, we don't know. How could we know? But he certainly sat up after every hit, looking around.
Yeah. Screaming and berating the refs. Certainly, when he got into his 40s, forget about it. He lost all respect for referees. It was verbal assault, abuse.
No, it was. So, but but again, everything you said in the video, totally 100% agree.
Yeah. It's a interesting scenario. But did we actually get to the transactions like we were going to talk about?
Well, I talked about them activating Pepe, but also to your point, they did add a tight end to the room. Let me see here. Yeah. His name
Johnny.
Give me one sec. It's popping. It's, man, I don't know what's going on with my internet tonight, but it has been not so good. Okay, here we go. Scotty, not Johnny. Scotty boy. Scotty Washington, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has been signed to the practice squad. So it'll be interesting to see why they felt the need. You think they had enough guys. It's interesting to bring Tomlinson back. They decided to go a totally different guy and bring in Scotty Washington. Don't know a ton about him. He's a big guy, but I don't think he's brought in to it be anything more than depth and, you know, a guy to back up the guys we got on this team. I don't expect him to jump out there and start running routes and making catches. I think that's still going to be, for the most part, likely Charlie Kohler. And then we're going to see an increased role from Patrick Ricard, at least from a blocking standpoint. But, yeah, I mean, that's the only new guy to the squad. They did add, Kevon Seymour to the injured reserve. He's gone.
That's the other piece that, we mentioned earlier, but I'm glad you highlighted that again.
Yeah, no doubt. He is out of here. But yeah, what is your expectation on Volkolek? Where is Volkolek right now? Yeah. I need to know more about Volkolek and where he is. Is he still on
you
want to
know where he's
squad?
In? Yeah. You don't know where he's in Mother Russia. He's lifting with Drago right now.
Is that what he's doing? Okay.
Or he's up in the mountain with Rocky, chopping wood.
Maybe I need to know. By
with a big old beard, dude. Nobody knows where he's at.
What was the point of signing this guy, Scotty? I mean, you have a guy go down, I guess.
Well,
but
maybe they have plans to move Volkolek. Like, you know, if they want to move him up so they have the guy, you know, if there's injuries, then they have the guy in the practice squad that's
Okay. Right.
Because in my mind, it's like a line and file, right? So if Mark goes down, everyone kind of moves up one. So then you got to kind of plug in for the last guy.
Understood. Okay.
You know, that's the way I see it. But I also wanted to, DK brought it up, and we ought to do this right now because if not, we will forget. And it is one of the most important parts of our show.
Yeah.
That is announcing the winner of our weekly competition. Of course, we do it internally, but we also do it for all you guys as well to participate. It's open competition, and the winner gets some swiggity swiggity swag.
Get that. Get that.
Our this week's competition submitted their entry on YouTube. Jonathan Johns.
Shout out to Jonathan.
To Jay Johns, Johnny Boy.
That's a new winner there. I don't recognize that name. First time.
I would not
winner.
Have forgotten that name.
And of course, this segment is as always brought to us by BetUS,
yes,
the
sir.
OG in sports betting. Whether it's season long, in game prop bets, they have it all. And best of all, they will match your initial deposit up to $2,500, 125%. So they won't just match what you put in; they'll give you a little extra something on the top. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful way to just make a non-interesting game so much more interesting by just putting a couple player props on. Have fun. You do it with your couple like Jimmy, with your partner like Jimmy does with his wife to make things more fun, makes things more enjoyable. Absolutely use promo code 410 to get that match, though. Get that free money, and maybe you can get a couple extra dollars in your pocket for some Christmas shopping.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, Glenn, what do you get me for Christmas this year, dude?
I don't know, dude. I've been thinking about it, though. I've been.
You actually have?
I mean, we usually will do something small, for each other.
I thought you were going to say a hug and a smile.
Nah, dude. Nah, bruh. You know, Jimbo, dude, you're pretty important to me, brother.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I got something to say. It is Thanksgiving, and there was something I was thinking about the other day. I got to tell you about it, okay?
All right, let's hear it.
Buckle in, dude. So, that's right. So, it's weird. I try to explain it to people all the time, and I said this on the show. I don't know if this happens when you're under the influence of any sort of substance. But
I can tell you.
When you run for a extended period of time, you go through these like emotional cycles in your head where you go from like happy, sad, grateful, angry, like all of these things, right?
Okay.
The other day I was running and it was like really nice crisp night. I'm running with my son. And I happened to, when I was a kid, I remember running home from playing until it got dark and I could smell the fire burning, the wood burning in the fires in the stove in the fireplace. My dad would have the wood burning stove going. And it was like I would get excited because I would be able to come home. Like we'd have dinner, we'd hang out, whatever. We'd do our thing as a family. The reason I'm saying all that is because when I was running, I passed this place that it just happened to smell exactly the same, like a fire burning stove, wood burning stove. I mean, and I just got all these memories. And then I was like, so I started getting filled with gratitude. And I was thinking, man, sometimes it's just important to pick up the phone when people call you. Like it's nothing more than that. And something I'm super grateful for, thankful for, it's Thanksgiving, is when I call Glenn, dang it, if he doesn't answer, he's going to call me back. And he got no problem with talking to me for like 10, 15 minutes. He'll just talk it up. Like, like that's what it is. Like, dude, the ministry of just being present for people is powerful. So thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that.
You're my guy, Jimbo. I'll make time. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, because, there's other people you call them and it's straight crickets. I'm not going to lie. As I've gotten older, my social circle has gotten smaller. Some of my friends.
Yeah.
And I'm glad about it. I'm trying to like better that,
Pick up the phone, ladies and gentlemen. You see your friends and family calling and sometimes you don't feel like it. You're watching a show. Pick it up. Give him a couple minutes. You never know. You never know. Crazy things happen in life. But Jimmy, I appreciate you.
Shout out, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. Look at Katie says, "Oh, you guys. Oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. Look, man. We appreciate all of you guys as well.
Yeah.
Because one thing, Jimmy, you guys always pick up for us. Me and Jimmy and DK. Anytime we're live, we appreciate always seeing this familiar names in the chat. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. We talk about thankful. We are always humbled and thankful.
Still blows our minds, right, Glenn? Like sometimes we get off the live and people are like, we had like 500 plus people at the whole live after our last win. Like, dude, we're literally filling churches.
You know what I'm saying? And also, I wanted to give a quick shout out our latest Patreon member, our newest patron, who also just sent a cool note saying basically that him and his wife or girlfriend. I can't remember which one it was. Never missed a show, Jimbo. So just imagine.
Dude, we've done over 1,000 shows.
There's a couple that has never missed a show of us two goobers up here talking some Ravens football. It's so cool to see. So thank you guys. Oh man. Katie said we should get BFF bracelets. Oh, come on. Don't make it weird, Katie. Don't make it weird. But Lisa Ann, appreciate you always being here. Adam, Don C, you know, you're a legend. Lewis, always here with us. Anonymous YouTuber, appreciate you always being out with us. Let's see. Let me get some other names. Nut Nasty always has nice words for us, even though his name, Nut Nasty. I mean, it just feels weird saying
it's
that.
Nasty.
But appreciate you. Lenny, always in here. Tanja, I mean, my goodness, here every single live. Jax, you as well. Hold on. Adrian?
Look, the accent is where you accentuate. Is where okay. You add the emphasis.
Adrian, do it.
No, okay, hold on. Right. This is how I learned it, all right? This is what I want you to do. Where the accent is, just lift your head. You go, Adrian.
Adrian.
Yeah, there you go.
Adrian.
Adrian. Yeah, I like
okay.
it.
All right, I got it. Appreciate you coming out here. Antonio, thank you. Adam78. Yeah,
and Jonathan Jax. Johns was in here. I saw that.
Jonathan.
Yeah, so make sure you DM us and any of the social media platforms above Glenn's noggin and send us your address and shirt size, dude.
That's all you got to do. Just don't put it in the comment section unless you want to have a lot more friends over for Thanksgiving. Hey, you never know. That could be cool as well. But that's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. But don't forget, we will be back here on Black Friday, to get you prepared for the Sunday night matchup against the LA Chargers. And then we'll be back post-game after the game. So we got a couple shows coming up for you. Make sure you're here Friday evening. That way we can get you set for your Sunday night matchup against the Chargers. But I think that's it for us tonight, folks.
Ka-ha! 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 I like also-